So Lord, we commit this day to you, and as I share your words, I ask your Holy Spirit to be present with us. Lord, let us, you just put into our spirit, our heart, Lord, you give us that sensitivity, that we come to know how much you have done for us, that you died for us, that we have been forgiven much. And as we realize that, Lord, we can love much. It's not by might, it's not by your power, but not by our power, but by your Spirit. So I commit this morning to you. You touch every heart. You bring this scene alive to us, that we always treasure and we are always thankful and grateful for what you've done on the cross. So we give you thanks, we give you praise. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, today is Good Friday. We commemorate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his death reminds us of the cross. And on the cross, Jesus preached a very, very short sermon in terms of words. There are only 7 sentences that he proclaimed on the cross. And it's a 7-point sermon. And these are the 7 cries of Jesus. And his voice was the softest, but yet it speaks the loudest. And it lasted for about 6 hours from 9 a.m. in the morning to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And it is the most touching sermon that was ever preached in the history of mankind. And its impact resonated from generation to generation. And hung and nailed on the cross, Jesus was in extreme pain and agony. Physically, mentally, and emotionally, it was the most painful. Now, Jesus had preached about hundreds or even thousands of sermons during his 3.5 years of ministry on earth. Yet, when the real crunch comes, he lives up to every message and every word that he taught and preached before. And as we go through each of the 7 cries of Jesus on the cross, I would like to provide you with devotional commentaries. And they are read for your reflection. Now, how do you come to know a person? How do you really know a person? Not during good times, not during peaceful times. The revelation of who a person can really be ascertained during the time of his or her deepest trial, pressure and crisis in life. Because trials reveal our character, our virtue or the lack of it thereof. And you really don't fully know a person until you see how the person respond or behave during those severe moments of trial, pressure and crisis in his or her life. And when Jesus was hung on the cross, we saw that Jesus truly lived 100% to his words. He is truly the Son of God, the Messiah, and the Savior of the world. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to verse 48, Jesus taught this. He says that you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus said, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and his hand rains on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. At the most severe and the painful moments on the cross, Jesus was still able to love his enemy. He was able to bless those who cursed him, and he was able to do good those who hated him and pray for those who persecuted him. And in Christ's dying moments at the cross, he demonstrated God's greatest love to humanity. So here we have the 7 cries of Jesus on the cross. I will get Brother Martin to read each cry, and then from there I will provide a devotional commentary on each of the cry of Jesus. So the first cry of Jesus, Brother Martin, please.
Luke 23:33-34. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And he divided his garments and cast lots.
So let us meditate on the first cry of Jesus. The first cry was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, the context of it is this. Jesus was betrayed. He was scourged. He was spit upon. His brows were pierced by thorns. And he was whipped. And he was punched. And he was kicked. And he was mocked. And then finally, they nailed him to the cross. The nails were on his feet and on his hands. And he was on the cross. And while he was experiencing the most excruciating pain in his life, Jesus was able to utter this first cry. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is the greatest expression of love. The Bible says that God is love. And when the nails pierce the hands and the feet of Jesus, the love God was poured forth from the cross. And who is this they in this particular sentence? For they do not know what they are doing. Who is this they that killed Jesus? Now it is easy to name names and blame others. Perhaps you can think of the envious priests or the Sanhedrin, the scribes and the Pharisees, and all those people conspired to kill Jesus. And then perhaps you can think of the governor, Pilate, and he was the man-pleaser. And he knew that Jesus was blameless, but yet he decided to wash his hands and not to intervene and just succumb to the wish of the Sanhedrin. And it could be, Judas, who because of greed betrayed his masters for 30 pieces of silver. And it could be the crowd who was responsible for crucifying Jesus. And at one moment they praise Jesus, Hosanna, they praise Jesus and they welcome Jesus, but the next day or so they change and they say, crucify him, crucify him. Now if you look at or you think of the disciples, Jesus' 12 disciples, and even at those crucial moments they all deserted Jesus. And if you even think of Peter, the die-hard disciple, you know, who was always for Jesus Christ, but yet Peter denied Christ 3 times. Now, they all played their part in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you, we are all equally guilty of this particular crime. And what Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, did, you know, few thousand years ago, was representation of what we did. Our rebellion against God, our Creator, telling Him, God, get lost out of our way. We don't want your rule and reign over our life. We know how to run our life through the knowledge of good and evil. Only to discover that we were 100% wrong. And we are 100% wrong. Because through our rebellion and succumbing to the lie of the devil, we brought sin and sicknesses and death into humanity. We brought the curses, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering, the perversion into the whole of humanity. And in the process, we hurt and we destroy people. We destroy one another and we destroy ourselves. Despite that, God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, to redeem us back to Him. And Christ suffered and He died on the cross that we might be forgiven. If we really know how much we have been forgiven, we ought to love much, brothers and sisters. And then comes the second cry of Jesus on the cross.
Luke 23:39-43. Then one of the criminals who hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
The second cry of Jesus on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. Let us meditate on this. And here, Christ was crucified on the cross between the two thieves, one on the right and one on the left. Now, these two thieves represents all humanity. All people must decide on Christ's offer of redemption through the cross. And one day, Christ is going to divide humanity into two groups, and one on his right and one on his left. And those who receive him will be on his right-hand side, and those who have rejected him will be on the left-hand side. And on which side will you be? That is the question. Now, note that both thieves, they prayed. And I think perhaps that all men have called upon God, perhaps at least once in their lifetime. But there is a difference between the prayer of repentance and the prayer of the other thief for relief. Now, one thief prayed. He says that, remove me from the pain and the suffering on the cross. Then the other repentant thief prayed. He says, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. Now, something changed the heart of the dying repentant thief. At first, both thieves were mocking on Christ. Both thieves had witnessed the same event, and both thieves were about the same distance from the crucified Jesus. But only one repented. And the thief has done nothing. This thief has done nothing to deserve salvation. But yet Jesus assured the repentant thief that he will be with him in paradise. For many, this sounds unbelievable. And this sounds, you know, beyond their imagination. And that is grace. What is grace? It cannot be earned. It cannot be what we call, it's not deserved. And it is unmerited favor. So, grace, amazing grace. This is the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here comes the third cry of Jesus on the cross.
John 19:25-27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home.
Now notice that Jesus did not call her mother, because he was speaking his role as the Savior of the world. And despite his excruciating pain, Jesus still showed his compassion and was so thoughtful of others. And who can grasp the grief? The grief of Mary watching her son suffer and die. And who can grasp the grief of the son? And the son must see his mother mourned. And what gift can a man give his mother when he is gone? How can Jesus help her? During these dying moments, he did not care for himself, but care for others. And he charged John to adopt his mother and to take care of her. Our faith in Christ makes us one big family. Although Mary was not the mother of John, the beloved, and John was not the son of Mary, our faith in Christ Jesus unites us, all of us together, into one big spiritual family. Mary had already witnessed the death of her husband, and now she was to witness the death of her eldest son. Now, the question is, Jesus in her mind will ask, what provision can he make for her? The church needs to step forward and help those who are within that need special attention, love, and care. And God has called upon all of us to become a big family, to love and to care for one another. And then comes the fourth cry of Jesus.
Mark 15:33-34. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Can I get Sister Doris to switch off the lights for a moment? Just want to reflect. At the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land. Now this was 12 noon. Supposed to be the receive the greatest light. The noon, the sun was as it is peak, but yet something supernatural took place in the heavenly. At 12 noon, darkness began to cover the whole earth. And the darkness lasted for 3 hours. And there was total cosmic darkness. And all the sins of the world of all people, the sin, past, present, and future, they were inflicted upon Jesus. And He bore it all. And your sin and my sin, they were imputed on Him on the cross. And He was pierced for our transgression. And He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace, the punishment for our peace was upon Jesus Christ on the cross. And by His stripes we were healed. And here it says, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquities of us all. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, He gave His life as a ransom for many. And God the Father could no longer fellowship with the Son. At this moment, sin separates Him from the holiness of God the Father. And that is why Jesus cried out here, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And Jesus reached the climax of His suffering. And He experienced literally hell on earth. The filthiness of the sins of the world were inflicted on Him. And there was pain and there was shame. And the wrath of God was also poured upon Him. And He suffered all this in silence. And He took the penalty of the judgment on our behalf. And God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Can I have the lights on, please? And then comes the fifth cry on the cross. Thank you.
John 19:28-29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and He filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to His mouth.
Yes, could I have the fifth slide, please? Thank you. The hours of torture on the cross took a tremendous toll on the body of Jesus. And execution by crucifixion was not a sudden death like what you find perhaps when a man was shot by a firing squad. The death was immediate. And then the pain, you know, will be gone within a few seconds. This, on the cross, it was a long-drawn process. It's a lingering death carried under the heated sun. And his wounded hands and the feet, they would highly inflame, resulting in what we call very high fever and thirst. And His body was highly dehydrated. And then comes the prophetic 22nd Psalms of in verse 14 and verse 15 that said of Christ on the condition on the cross. He says, I'm poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned like a potsherd and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Our Savior's sufferings were gruesome beyond words. And Jesus, though God even though Jesus was God, He was also the Son of Man. And He experienced humanity. He was thirsty. He was weary. And He experienced hunger. And He experienced sleepiness. And He wept. And He felt all the emotions and the pain of humanity. And while on earth, Christ made Himself poor. He was born into a poor family and in a manger, not a hotel, not a palace. And His financial needs were met by others. For example, His disciples and some of the ladies out there. And Christ made Himself vulnerable, though He is God. He fully understands our human needs. And He is the sympathetic great high priest of God. And we are, likewise, to be vulnerable, to be dependent on one another. What I lack, you can supply. And what you lack, I can supply. And this is part of humanity. And then here comes the sixth cry of Jesus on the cross.
John 19:13. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
Jesus did not say, "I am finished." But he said, "It is finished." What he set out to do on the earth was totally accomplished. It is not a cry of relief, nor a cry of despair, but a cry of accomplishment and victory over sin, over hell, and over death. The price for atonement for the sin of humanity had been fully paid in full. Our debt to God for our sin is settled. The devil, our previous taskmaster, was no longer able to hold us ransom and accuse us of our sin before God. And Jesus finished what he has set out to do on earth. And it's one thing to start, but it's another to end. Many started well, but along the way, they were distracted, they fell, and they did not finish. And Apostle Paul was able to say, "I have fought a good fight, and I finished the race." And he shared with us in the Bible and during the course of his faith journey. And it was not easy for him. And you may get persecuted. And along the way, you may be misunderstood. You will surely face temptations, traps laid along the way by the enemy. And you may be discouraged. You may hurt. You may be hurt by people, brothers and sisters in Christ. And you may be betrayed and disappointed. And you may stumble along the way. But you can make every stumbling block as a stepping stone in your faith journey. By God's grace, may we all finish the course that He has set for us. And Jesus had the most difficult course because He had to go to the cross to die for us. And He did not run away from it. He went through it and He can finally proclaim that it is finished. So, brothers and sisters, finish what you have started. When you start in faith, finish in faith. Finish well and finish strong. And then here comes the seventh cry on the cross.
Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last.
The seventh cry, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And this speaks of Jesus' confidence in God, his Father. He found total security in his Father's hands. In doing so, he is also pointing the way to all of us here. Jesus died on the cross, totally entrusting himself to the promise of the Father, that the Father would resurrect him after 3 days and three nights. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Now it means that you can totally put your life and your death and your destiny in the care of God the Father. That's why Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." One day, all of us is going to cross this door of death. The critical question is this: whom are you entrusting or committing your spirit to? Is it God of the Bible, or nobody, or is it someone else who is dubious? If it is not the God of the Bible, Christ and the cross, you and me are in deep trouble. Because if we don't have Christ, we will all eventually end up in the eternal lake of fire, the place of torment. And that is why John 3:16 comes in. It says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, brother and sister, as we reflect upon the seven cries of Jesus on the cross, in summary, I would like to say this. The last slide, please. We thank him for the work on the cross. And we who are forgiven by his grace must first learn to love much. And second, we must share God's amazing grace. And then the third cry teaches us how to care for one another. And then the fourth cry teaches us to realize that sin has got grave consequences. And the fifth cry of Jesus taught us to be interdependent, that we need one another. The sixth cry of Jesus, it is finished. God is saying, finish what you have started. And then lastly, but not least, the seventh cry of Jesus says that we can all trust God totally. The God of the Bible, everything that is written there is 100% true. And we can entrust our life, our death, our destiny to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that the seven cries of Jesus will give you time as you go back to your homes. You will learn to reflect the seven cries of Jesus on the cross. Can I get the musician to come forward, please? Shall we stand?